Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a Faith and Values program that has been airing now for 20 years here on WBT. It's been my pleasure to do it. It's trying to intersect faith and values with different issues in our culture, personalities, locally and globally. We've really enjoyed doing it. Thank you for listening, and I hope that it has been a regular part of your Sunday morning experience. Many thanks to Perry's Fine Jewelry and Ruth Chris Steakhouse for their sponsorships of the show. It means so much to me that you allow this program to continue week to week. Well, belated happy Thanksgiving to you all. This past Thursday, we celebrated Thanksgiving. What a joyful day that was. How wonderful to spend that time with friends and family, oftentimes watching football, eating turkey or something else, but just having a time to be thankful. And I hope you did take some time to be thankful, because that's the real meaning of the day. And to talk about the power of Thanksgiving, something the scripture talks about over and over and over again. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to God in all things. Those kind of commands are throughout the scripture. Someone I know who practices Thanksgiving as well as I can imagine is my beloved Marilyn, my wife of 41 years. She's in studio with me to talk about the meaning and purpose of Thanksgiving and praise. Marilyn, thanks for being with
me. I'm thankful, David. I'm thankful to be here with you.
Good. Well, I always enjoy having you on the show, and it gives the program a female voice, which I think it needs from time to time. So thank you again. Yeah. This whole idea of Thanksgiving is really powerful throughout the scripture, isn't it?
It is. It is.
We see different sections of scripture commanding us to be thankful. It's not optional. It's a command. Why do you think Thanksgiving is so important and powerful in our lives?
Well, you know, it's interesting, David. Every command in Scripture usually, in fact, always, I think, has a good reason, a practical reason behind it. And I can't think of any other reason God would tell us to give thanks, because he can certainly survive without our thanks. But he just knows that Thanksgiving is good for us.
So it's for our benefit.
It's for our benefit. And I'm sure he appreciates it. You know, I know that. But he also knows that living a thankful life is just, it's just a practical way to live that's a lot more mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and socially healthy for us. We can talk some more about that in the show, but there are just all kinds of psychological benefits. If you want to get down to the basics, Thanksgiving is just plain good for you.
So people who don't even have faith could find power in Thanksgiving, but I would think the difficulty of that is that thanks is a verb, give thanks.
That's right. To whom?
Thanksgiving needs a direct object.
It does.
So the question then is, to whom are you giving thanks?
To whom?
You
I always know? Wonder the very same thing. Yeah, people say, well, I'm thankful. And I'm like, well, you're thankful to whom? I mean, many years as an atheist, I can relate to the whole idea of not having a direct object to my thanks.
Yeah.
And it's really silly.
Nice
yeah.
for me. And I say, thank you, Marilyn,
yes,
for doing
thankful
something
to
nice
me.
To me.
Right.
I'm thankful to you for what you've done
that's right.
nice to me. But when you are operating in the faith arena,
that's
if
right.
you're giving thanks, there's got to be a direct object to that thanks. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we believe that direct object has to be God, from whom all blessings flow.
And it's interesting, David, when I wrote my book on prayer, what now it's been about 6 or 7 years ago, but I remember looking at the Greek word or the prefix, actually, pro, P-R-O, and it means of first importance. And so, therefore, you have the word protein. And we all know that protein, especially now in the paleo world and all this, protein is of first importance in terms of what we eat. And I like to think of praise and thanksgiving really is the protein of prayer. It's the, you know, maybe the way we start out. It's probably the most important of all.
Well, let me back up on that, because that's absolutely fascinating. You're saying that in our digestive system, the first thing we're supposed to put into our bodies is protein.
Well, protein is the major nutrient we need, yeah.
So that gives the stimulus to our brain in order to
think well. It's converted
into
carbs and sugar and all that, yeah.
So Thanksgiving becomes the protein
of our prayer.
It's the first thing we should begin our prayer life with.
I wonder, you know, the scripture tells us to enter into his courts with thanksgiving and all that, and I think the fact that it's woven throughout, you know, every time anybody prays in the scripture, there's always an element of thanksgiving. And I think in today's world, it's probably the flavor that's missing the most. I think the opposite of thanksgiving would be everything from complaining, and then you take it to a state of mind, which I think victimhood probably is, if you want a picture of what life without thanksgiving would look like, just think about victimhood and think about anybody you might know that lives life as a victim. And I bet if you look at them, you go, not very thankful.
So an antonym of Thanksgiving would be discontentment.
I think so.
You would not have a contentment in life. You'd always be complaining.
Instead
of giving Thanksgiving to God. So today we're looking at the power of Thanksgiving.
The power of it, yeah.
Yeah, and the synonym that I want to explore in the next segment is the synonym of praise.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're giving thanks, it's an idea of also giving praise, entering into discourse with Thanksgiving and praise. The power of praise, when you really get that down, it opens prison doors like never before. So, Marilyn, when we come back, let's try to talk about praise and how there are even biblical examples of people who praise God amidst a battle, and the minute they start praising God, the victory is won. I think it's an important idea. This Thanksgiving weekend, thank you all for listening. I'm David Chadwick, and we will be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993-WBT. Welcome back to the show. My wife, Marilyn, is my guest today on this Thanksgiving weekend. We're trying to explore together the power of Thanksgiving. She's written books on prayer and valor and some of those wonderful words that are throughout the Holy Scripture. This word Thanksgiving, though, is there as well, isn't
it, Marilyn? It's all over the place, David, and sometimes it hides under the name of other things like praise. You know, it's it's a theme. I think it's a theme of Scripture.
And of course, in the first segment, we talked how Thanksgiving needs a direct object.
Exactly.
And of course, that's God. And we need to recognize how all our gifts come from Him. He's the source of all life. But this praise idea, Thanksgiving is synonymous with the word praise, is something I want to explore with you. There was a book written back in the 1970s called The Power of Praise by Merlin Carruthers.
There were two. It was Prison to Praise, and then because he was in prison at one point.
Yeah, that's right.
It was From Prison to Praise, and then Power of Praise.
And those two books are still being read today.
Yeah, they were runaway bestsellers.
Why did they capture people's hearts, do you think?
I don't know. They were runaway bestsellers in all languages, too. And I think part of it was just so practical. But he gave just example after example of people who had maybe even perhaps prayed for something for a really long time and had gotten very discouraged. And so when they began to follow his very simple little recipe of giving thanks in all things, they saw literally prison doors open. They saw, you know, breakthroughs in long-standing situations. They saw victories. I remember one situation where a young man had talked about his alcoholic father, who he'd grown up with, the father being very angry and abusive and all that. And then this man was an adult himself and married, and he just was saying, I've prayed for my father for so many years. I just don't even know if this is going to work. Finally, he and his wife just got down on their knees and started thanking God, even in the midst of the dad's alcoholism and abusiveness, not thanking God for that, but thanking him in the middle. And
so let's talk about that a second.
Yeah.
What's the difference between thanking God for something and thanking God in it? Because some people would say, you want me to thank God for cancer?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think God's saying thank me for the ugly stuff, but thank me in it because all things are possible with me. So thank me in it and watch what I'm doing. And
so God's working through the difficult situation.
Yeah, that's what he always does on planet Earth. And they started thanking God in this situation with the father. And I don't remember the details, but it wasn't 2 weeks that the father and his mother then came over for dinner. And his father sat down and said to him, I don't know what's going on with me, but I have got to make a life change. And of course, that was an understatement. But anyway, by the course of the evening, by midnight that night, the man had repented. He'd given his life to Christ. And he was willing to enroll in alcoholic, you know, treatment center. But the guy, the point was, here I'd been praying for this thing for decades. And because I started giving thanks and praising God, I don't know if it made it happen faster. I don't know. You know, I never want to presume to say we could put God in a box. But let's just say that maybe praise and thanksgiving get rid of some of the blockades, you know, some of the obstacles to our prayers. I don't know.
Well, there's an interesting story in the Bible about a king named Jehoshaphat, and he is surrounded by a huge army, and God directs him in prayer to, first of all, sing praises to him.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of him trying to figure out what to do, God says, here's the key mm-hmm. to the victory in your battle over the enemy, the power of praise. So he gives it to God, submits it to him, and then the next day his armies come out, but they're being led by the singers.
I remember that, worship
and they
leaders.
Sing praise to God, and then amazingly, the enemy fled. And there's something powerful about releasing the problem to God and saying, I'm trusting you. And Marilyn,
maybe that's what it is. Yeah.
Is praise the evidence of faith, do you think?
I wonder, David. You know, that's where I said sometimes when the Bible tells us we're in a spiritual battle, you know, and then God tells us to do things like forgive your enemies, don't let bitterness spring up, give thanks and praise in all things. I think maybe those are really powerful spiritual weapons. We may not see it here on earth, but I imagine when we do those things, we probably are, you know, kicking some butt in the heavenly world, you know?
That's a very spiritual way of putting it.
That's
it
right.
really is, because God is our fighter. He
That's
wants
right.
to fight for us, and there's something.
And we're in a battle.
Yeah,
you know,
and if
always,
we're holding
yeah.
on to it ourselves yeah. with our puny little human fingers and refusing to
it.
Give it to God, maybe praise and thanksgiving is what releases it to God's power to fight for us, because yeah. in that Jehoshaphat illustration, yeah. God said to him, this is my battle.
And so it really is faith.
Yeah.
That's the fight of faith. So maybe praise and thanksgiving are or faith in their fancy dress, you know?
Yeah, and that's why a lot of churches begin their worship services mm-hmm. with times of praise and thanksgiving, some spending maybe 10, 15 minutes in it, because mm-hmm. there's that belief that praise goes before us when we're fighting our enemies, and we can believe that God is working for us as we release it
yeah,
to him.
Yeah, of course, David, there are examples all over the Bible. I mean, you think about Joshua and the walls of Jericho that came tumbling down. You think about
seven
Paul.
Seven times with
yeah.
praise.
And you think about Paul and Silas in prison, and they were singing hymns. And then
At midnight. With
yeah.
no hope whatsoever,
and they'd
chained
just been beaten
to a prison
to a pulp.
Cell.
Yeah, and then we know what happened. That one, the victory came, and all kinds of good stuff happened. The jailer got converted, and his whole family. It was a pretty great story.
So it really is not just the singing of praises. It's
no.
not even saying the words
no,
of thanksgiving.
It's
got to come from the heart, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And, you know, there was a wildly popular book less than a decade ago by an author that we like named Ann Voskamp called 1,000 Gifts. And I think she was in a difficult place emotionally. I don't remember all the details, but I just knew she was in a pit. And she started writing down things to give thanks for, and it was like a gratitude journal. So, you know, there is something of a spiritual discipline that you could say practicing gratitude. It was transformative for her.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in the next segment about how to make a Thanksgiving mm-hmm. list, and let's do that. There are a lot of people who are saying that every aspect of faith begins in your mind, that it's how you think and what you choose to believe. You know, there's that verse in the Bible that says, be transformed by mm-hmm.
the renewing of your mind.
So it's making choices in your mind that sets free the power of God to work. But one of those choices is, I will look at my day, and I will not look at the negative. I will not look as being a victim. I will not look as a discontented person. I will choose in my mind to give praise, to give thanks, and to offer it to God and trust him with it. And it seems to me like that's the reason that Thanksgiving is so powerful in our hearts and why the Bible commands it so regularly.
Possibly so. I think probably that's one of the many reasons. And like I said, I don't know that we even understand why it's so powerful. We probably sometimes underestimate the power of something like praise and Thanksgiving Day.
Well, I want all of us today to really contemplate what this weekend means,
mm-hmm.
the power of Thanksgiving. I can remember gathering around our table as a family, and my dad would lead us in prayers of thanksgiving, because he really mm-hmm. did sense, I think, in his own heart the power of it, and wanted to give us kids that kind of same issue. I would think, though, the opposite of thanksgiving is complaining. And you and mm-hmm. I've talked a lot about how our words oftentimes create realities in our lives.
Oh, my goodness. I know I do it in my own life. Yes.
It's almost like you throw pollution into
yeah.
your atmosphere
yeah.
at home or at the workplace if you're constantly spewing forth
negatives.
And it's
contagious. I know.
It is contagious.
Boy,
people
we
around
see it with
you
our kids.
Pick up on it.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
And talk about that with kids, because
well, you
that's
know,
true.
It is true with our kids. I mean, every parent out there knows it. But I'll just never forget, even before I had kids, I had a very good friend years ago, and she was disabled. I mean, she could still walk and everything, but she had some severe disabilities. And I thought to myself, I said to her, you know, you are the most joyful person I think I know. And she said, well, you know, I've learned to become that way over the years. Part of the way my parents raised me, and this was years ago, so this was well before even people knew how to treat people with disabilities respectfully. But she said, my parents would tell me that if they noticed me being grumpy and discontented and kind of ornery and just not pleasant to be around, they would say to me, Becky, you must have too many blessings right now, so we're going to just dial back on some of your blessings until you learn to be thankful. And it's interesting that instead of making her more of a victim, it actually built a sturdiness in her. And she just knew that for her sake, her life was, I mean, it's a matter of life and death sometimes to live with joy, because she, of all people, could have just descended into a place of very great darkness, despair, and victimhood. And then she didn't, despite her disabilities. Like I said, she was a very sturdy, joyful, fun to be around kind of person.
Well, when we look at the power of thanksgiving in our hearts and learning the power of praise, it's really not that difficult, is it?
I mean, well, even a child can do it.
Even a child can do it. You raised our kids to try to be thankful in all things. You would dial back blessings if you thought they were becoming complaining.
Yeah, it was
important to you.
Yeah, I would. And I can't say I always did a great job. But, you know, I did take note from my friend. And I would say to them, of course, I would tell them straight up, if you're acting like this, maybe you're getting too many good things. We need to step it back a little bit. But I think the point is true. That blessings, you would think that more and more and more and more blessings would make you more and more and more thankful. And that's not necessarily the case. Some of the most miserable people I know are people that have a wealth of blessings, money, the whole bit. So praise and thanksgiving, again, are an attitude of the heart.
I listened this week to a podcast, and it was examining those who are multiple billionaires. And it said that those who are millionaires, who have between $1 to $10 million, they're content with their millions. They're going to live life to the full. But when people become billionaires, the discontentment in their heart reigns supreme. And the reason is they're constantly comparing themselves to the other billionaires.
Wow.
For example, Michael Bloomberg, who's worth $60 billion, he is always comparing himself to those who are ahead of him. He's the ninth wealthiest man in the world. He's looking at other people who are wealthier than he is. He's got to move up to the seventh, sixth, or fifth place. It's just a terrible thing when we start comparing ourselves with other people,
well,
isn't it?
Well, it's a perspective, and I think you're saying it in the monetary realm, but it's true everywhere. If you are looking at what you don't have instead of what you do have, it's really easy to slip into complaining.
So what we want to do in the next segment is to look at how we can make thanksgiving and praise an important part of our lives, not looking at what we don't have, but being thankful for what we do have. And that's going to be in something you've already mentioned, that
practicing
is the development
gratitude.
Of the practicing of gratitude with a thanksgiving list. I mean, literally take some time to write down all of the things for which you are thankful. And folks, if you'll dare to do so, what you'll find is that list by the moment grows exponentially more every day, and you can develop a heart of praise and thanksgiving, which is the way you defeat so many of the battles that you're fighting presently in your life. I'm David Chadwick, and we will be right back.
Of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father.
Isn't that good news? That God is a good, good father and wants the best for us, loves us, cares for us. You get that one down, folks, and faith takes on a new power and perspective in your lives. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to hear this program about Thanksgiving with my wife, Marilyn, the power of praise and what it can do in your faith walk, please go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can hear this program from beginning to end. And I'm telling you, you're going to want to, because I have a really smart person in studio with me.
Gee, David, I'm thankful said that.
Marilyn, you've walked with the Lord for a long time, and your faith walk is deep and rich, and I've always appreciated it. And in fact, I go to you sometimes for counsel to try to get insights on things, and you've always been there for me. So,
well, that's because I'm just bottom line. You know, I'm just a very practical person. Somebody calls me their prayer coach.
Well, you understand discernment. You get to the bottom line quickly.
Well, it's because I was an unbeliever, for a long time. So I think when you go from being totally convinced that God's not real to being convinced that he is, every day is sort of magical after that.
Yeah, you know? That is your history, too. Yeah. For years, you did not
Absolutely.
Walk with God, much less believe in him.
No, not at all. I invited him out of my life.
Yeah, but now you are walking deeply and intimately with him.
And yeah, at age 15, I said, it is social suicide in my circles to be a Christian. I am getting you out of my life.
And you said you'd never be a Christian, much less ever marry
a minister.
Oh, my. Here
oh
we
my
are,
goodness.
41 years
here
later.
We are.
So
here we are. God was laughing. God was laughing the whole way.
Well, Thanksgiving is a powerful term that is used throughout the Scripture. We are commanded by God to give thanks, not because he's ego-centered and maniacal and needs it.
It's no, he just knows it's good for us.
It's good
yeah.
for us.
Yeah.
And we need to develop an understanding of the power of thanksgiving, yeah. a synonym, the power mm-hmm. of praise. And I wanted to talk this segment about something that you and I have both done, but we also know some other people who have done
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's making a Thanksgiving list.
Well, and just, I mean, throughout the centuries, I think people have realized the value of practicing gratitude. I mean, it is
the
a spiritual.
The attitude of gratitude.
Yeah, it's
as some
a spiritual
it.
Discipline. But, you know, Anne Voskamp made it extremely popular about a decade ago when she wrote the book 1,000 Gifts. And that was sort of a gratitude journal where she just began to write down a list of each thing in her day that was beautiful and wonderful. And a friend of mine had a teenage daughter. And I think it's a lot more, to me, real life happens with teenagers, you know, because they aren't trying to please anybody.
Right.
And this gal, she was, I think, freshman in high school. And my friend's daughter, I'm going to call her Mary, but Mary was just really in bad shape, probably depressed and didn't like being a ninth grader. Who does? And so my friend encouraged her to keep what she called a thank you book and just start writing down things that she was thankful for. And Mary said, you know, at first I couldn't find anything to think that I was thankful for. And so she'd write down one or two things. But then as each day went by, she not only found things to be thankful for, she started taking pictures of things that were wonderful or pasting things into her journals, and she just filled up volumes of what would she called thank you books. I mean, she ended up going on the mission field and just lived a life of great usefulness to God and great joy to those around her. But that thank you book, she will tell you, is just a major part of her life. So I think we can learn some lessons. Maybe we don't have a thank you book, but like you mentioned, the gratitude list, that's a very powerful thing.
And it's a practical thing that people can do. Just sit down with a piece of paper and a pen, or take your iPad or your computer or your phone
yeah.
and just start
listing
the yeah. things for which you're thankful. And like your friend mm-hmm. talked about her daughter,
thank you,
at first it was really hard.
It was hard.
But
and
then
she
the more
thinking.
She started doing it, it was like momentum. The flywheel yeah. started taking on a life of its
right.
own. And she started discovering
little
thanks
things,
in the smallest
every,
things.
Yeah, I think the small things. I think if you can figure out how to be thankful for the small things. I mean, anybody can be thankful for the big stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But to be thankful in the small things, I think really is the training ground. There's an author I like that said this. She started keeping a gratitude journal, and she said that finding one simple thing to give thanks for and writing it down started a chain reaction for her. And so she just said that inch by inch, she began to move away from kind of a depressed mindset into one of joy. But she said giving thanks for the smallest gifts, I love what she said here, became a new way of living, a kind of oxygen that I couldn't get enough of, a transformative way of being. And so she filled up her first gratitude journal and kept going. So she would start it out like this, set a time aside each day to make a list of what you're thankful for. Start with the tiniest details and write down even just one thing. And on the day when you're feeling empty or just wanting an excuse to smile, she said, go back and read some of your list. And so I think many of us have found different practical ways, David, to do that very thing.
Well, it's interesting. I have a friend who did the same thing, depressed, discouraged, mm-hmm. ready to give up, maybe even suicidal.
Well, there
and
you
he
go.
Just took this leap
mm-hmm.
of faith and said, I'm going to keep a Thanksgiving journal. It was hard for him to begin
yeah.
with, but then he started finding the little things that were reasons to be thankful. He even found things like that the grass is green.
Mm-hmm.
Just that color of green for the grass
right.
is an amazing idea. Then he started giving thanks for sunshine on
mm-hmm.
his face.
Mm-hmm. Little things.
He started giving thanks for a bird chirping in the air. He gave thanks for, he went to the beach one weekend, and just for the sound of waves lapping on the shore. Then he started giving thanks for the sand beneath his toes. And he started finding so many reasons.
So much wonder and magic,
yeah.
Well, and maybe you just said it, maybe the opposite of gratitude is taking things for granted. You know, so that's what I'm saying. It's almost like we're flipping the switch in our brain. And I've started actually incorporating a little new thing into my prayer life. You know, earlier in the show, I said that praise was like the protein of prayer. So I've just decided to start taking that literally. So I have a little section in my journal now where I start out, I put a little praise list, you know, and just, I mean, I don't spend hours on it, but I start out in the morning with just writing down the things that I'm thankful for. And then at the bottom, I have my little want list. You know, everybody's got their little want list, my secret wish list. But I was reading in the Psalms the other day, Psalm 37:4 is a verse we've all known a lot. You and I have, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the what?
The desires of your heart.
I happened to check it out in the Amplified version, and I like this because it was delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the secret petitions of your heart. So I just changed that little list at the bottom to my secret petitions. And so I might write down four or five little things that I really am needing that day. Maybe as simple as, you know, I need to get this insurance issue that's taken me hours and hours to try to settle. I need to get that solved. Lord, help me talk to somebody that can get this insurance issue solved for us. You know, silly stuff that you wouldn't think to pray about, but then other more important things. And then the next day when I look back at that list, when things are answered, then I put them at the top of my praise list. And I told you, like last week, I had so many answers to that little petition list that then you realize this is not fake. I really am thankful for that. I'm thankful for these little things that get solved.
Sometimes we who are in faith have Christian ease, as it's called, you know, the Christian nomenclature that we say all the time, that a lot of people really don't understand what it means. And one of those terms that we say a lot is hallelujah. You know, and there are some who cry that out in worship services, hallelujah. And what it means is, from the two Hebrew words hallel and Yah is short for Yahweh, so hallel means praise and Yahweh means God. So what you're saying with hallelujah is praise God. We're getting to the same subject today, that there is power when we just simply praise God, give thanks to him in everything. And hallelujah is throughout the Bible. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And so when we change how we think, we change how we feel. When we change how we feel, we'll change behavior.
That's
a lot
true.
Of people try to change behavior by changing what they feel.
Yeah, you can't change your feelings.
You can't. Because feelings are responders to what's going on around you. So what you need to do is to change your mind, change your thinking patterns, and start focusing on praise, focusing on thanksgiving. And when you do that, you change how you think, which then changes how you feel, which then changes behavior. And you and I both believe, again, there's great power in thanksgiving.
I agree. And, you know, also we're changing something else that we haven't really talked a whole lot about, but we're changing the way that we look at the world around us on a daily basis. So if I'm looking for things to be thankful for, it's a very different way to live than if I'm looking. I can find plenty of things to complain about. Anybody can. In fact, I think it takes a lot less energy to look at the negative stuff and to complain than it does to look for the positives. I don't know why that is.
Yeah,
you think it'd be the other way around.
To go there, don't
it's
you
just,
think? 'Cause
it's
the world's
default.
So broken.
It's the, and I think it's just our human flesh, just the default mode. You know, we're wired that way. We're born and we fall.
Well, we walk down the path of least resistance,
there you go.
Don't we?
Yeah.
All of us do. And we just take the path where we don't have to fight a whole lot. But, you know, to change the way you think and to have an attitude of gratitude means a battle, doesn't it?
It does. But then it starts to be fun. And like any sport, and, you know, we're a sports family, the more you practice it, the better you are at it. And then I do think eventually you begin to walk in a manner of gratitude. And like Paul says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling.
I'm David Chadwick, and that's my wife, Marilyn. We're talking about the power of Thanksgiving this Thanksgiving weekend. Just several days ago, we celebrated Thanksgiving. Let's not forget to celebrate it every single day of our lives, folks, because it is a power that God has given us to defeat the enemy. Hallelujah. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. I'm David Chadwick with my wife, Marilyn, and we will be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. With my wife, Marilyn, this Thanksgiving weekend, celebrating the power of Thanksgiving, something that shouldn't just be one time a year, as President Abraham Lincoln made it a national holiday amidst the Civil War to remind us that we are a nation greatly blessed. But it's also something that should be practiced every single day of our lives. And that's what Marilyn and I have tried to encourage all of you to understand today, the absolute power of thanksgiving and praise. We've talked about how it's throughout the scripture, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. The word hallelujah from the Hebrew means praise God. We've seen people in the scripture released from prison cells when they start to praise God. And so in our praise and thanksgiving, even making a Thanksgiving list of all that we have for which to be thankful, from the food we have, the next beat of our hearts, the clothes that we wear, the next gulp of air that we breathe in, all of those things, plus many others, are reasons we should give thanks. If you want to hear the program, by the way, in its entirety, go to the podcast on WBT.com, and you can hear Marilyn's mostly great thoughts on this subject of Thanksgiving. And Marilyn, practically making Thanksgiving a part of our lives, what do people do?
Yeah, you know, and we've talked about that some earlier in the show, so I would encourage people to get the podcast because, you know, this is a real, it's odd to think about Thanksgiving being practical, but it really is. And that's why practicing gratitude probably is one of the most powerful spiritual disciplines anybody can have.
Fighting off the culture of complaining and victimhood.
Well, I think in today's culture, the default mode is to drift into victimhood. And I think gratitude and thanksgiving are really the best antidote to that. So practical ways, David, we had even talked about, you know, in the scriptures, it talks about singing and, you know, the praise and worship time. And if you are a worshiper and go to church, but just the gut level daily living, to me, the easiest way to practice gratitude is with that thank you book that I talked about earlier that my teenager friend started keeping and how it transformed her from a very depressed young lady to a very thankful one. So just a thank you book, you know, list the things that you're thankful for. That's a great way to start out. If your listeners today want to start one habit that might be very transformative, buy a journal or get a notebook and just spend some time sitting down, beginning to list your things that you're thankful for and do it, you know, a little bit every day.
Well, that demands almost something I know that's precious to your heart, and that's some time alone with God each day.
Well, yeah, just time alone in general. I mean, I think we live in such a busy, noisy world, most people don't even make time to be alone at all. And, of course, over the years, I have found that carving out some early morning time before everybody's up in wild and crazy world that I live in, you know, time in reading the scripture, time in prayer, but making a point of listing some of those things that I'm thankful for, practicing gratitude right out of the chute, you know, right out of the gate in the morning does kind of set the thermostat for my emotional equilibrium, if you will, for the rest of the day.
If we practice the presence of God, which is a part of that quiet time every day, and you believe God is your constant friend and companion, that he not only lives with you, he lives in you, then there's this continual conversation you have with God
all day long.
So that means a continual conversation of giving thanks.
Well, yeah. And I'm so pragmatic. I'm looking for answers to prayer. Like if I pray, well, why pray if you don't think God's going to answer? So if I pray, if I take the time to pray, I'm going to look for the answers all day long because I'm needing those. And so when I notice little things that I've prayed for and I think that God's hand is in the answer, then that gives me something to be thankful for. Then I'm more inclined to pray again and that flywheel of prayer gets turning. And then I think thanksgiving and praise energizes that. And that's why, I mean, my kids say, Mom, if you pray for something, you will get it. They think that they're always calling me to pray for them because they think, say, Mom, if you pray, it's going to happen.
But also there's the continual perseverance in prayer, too. So talk a bit about that, too. That's a continual perseverance of thanksgiving.
Well, that's the story
of
my life.
Continue to give thanks.
Oh, my goodness. What did we wait? 48 straight months of infertility treatment? I mean, I have so much history with waiting for things. I always laugh and say, I don't ever get the things that I want right when I want them. There's always some measure of weight training, W-A-I-T training that goes in. And I think thanksgiving and prayer, thanksgiving and praise help you keep a joyful attitude while you're in that waiting room.
Some people actually put on music in their quiet time and sing along with that music, specifically choosing praise songs.
Yeah, our daughter does that.
In their cars, they put on praise music, even with their kids in the back, to keep putting that in their heads. You and I used to put a tape recorder, cassette back when. That's all we had when our kids were little.
Yeah.
And we would put praise music in their minds throughout their sleep.
That's
and they would
something.
Awaken the next morning having memorized those songs.
Yeah, I just think there are all kinds of ways to put God's word in our heart, but also cultivate that Habit of gratitude.
Yeah. Well, it is a habit.
It's like our superpower.
Mm-hmm. It's a protein. Talk about that real quickly again.
Well, again, protein, the Greek prefix pro means of first importance. And so when you're thinking about your food and your diet, everybody knows that protein, boy, that's the thing today,
isn't
it?
That's the brain food.
Yeah, that's the brain food, but it's the thing that your body just needs, you know, it's the foundation. And so when I wrote my book on prayer several years ago, I kind of said one little section on praise and thanksgiving. Think of praise and thanksgiving as the protein of your prayer life.
Yeah, it's the basis upon which all other things are built.
Yeah, it's a great basis to start off with.
Another synonym for thanksgiving is humility. Because if you're humble, you believe everything comes from God. So Thanksgiving then believes that you're thanking God for everything that comes from Him, that what we call in the church the doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Everything comes from Him, so we're humble about our lives. And somehow when we have thanksgiving and humility, that's the 1-2 punch of success in the spiritual life.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think thanksgiving and praise, we were talking earlier about how positive reinforcement, even when you're dealing with people, you know, praise is not just for God. You know, when we praise other people, and we might not call it praise, let's call it positive reinforcement. When we recognize what people do that's really nice or good or successful or admirable, and we tell them that, well, I'm proud of you for that. We did it with our kids. I mean, it really feeds the soul. I mean, even your dog likes to be praised, you know. But I mean, I just think God wired us to be. I'd much rather have somebody coach me and teach me through praise primarily. I know you need a kick in the pants sometimes too, but if you create a climate where praise is the major motivator, it just makes for a healthy environment.
So we should be people, because God wired us this way, to give Him thanks, but also to receive His blessings and then give thanks to other people.
Yeah.
And that's a boss, a coach,
a
mom,
friend,
a
child,
dad, a friend, wherever. When we say thank you to another person, we're encouraging them to continue that behavior.
Well, and how about this? How about even with the snarky, snarly people in your life, looking for one thing in them that you find that's admirable? You know, looking for something that you like. That's one of my little challenges when I deal with difficult people. Is there something in that person that I can, like mining for gold, you know, I can get through some of the dirt to get to the gold? Is there something in that person that I like? And then taking it to a much more positive level, when all of our children were growing up, what is that special uniqueness in each child that we can mind that and reinforce that, you know, and put them on the path where they develop that instead of this, 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 and this.
So the bottom line is, we end the program today, everybody has something for which they can be thankful.
Everybody does. Everybody does.
So find that and make sure you give thanks to God for that.
Yeah.
And then where possible, give thanks to other people who've helped you out or who do something nice for you.
And then really learn to give thanks in all things, and you will be operating in the amazing spiritual superpower of gratitude.
It's just something that releases us from victimhood, releases us from complaining, releases us from negative thinking.
And maybe depression even.
And even depression. It can create an attitude of gratitude, not just one day of the year, like we celebrated this past Thursday, but every single day of our lives, folks, be people of thanksgiving and praise. Marilyn, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you, David.
It's always good having you. And everyone, please focus on this power of thanksgiving, the power of praise. It can take you out of your prisons. It can give you new life and hope like never before. And let me end this program as I end every program. Always remember the two commandments we have: to love God and love our neighbors. Those are two things that all of us can do. And if you'll just do those two things, you have a lifetime's worth of work to do. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Talk with you all next week.